Today, as I normally do on first Saturdays, I'd like to talk to you about the Fatima message and saving of souls. Many are called, few are chosen, said the Lord. Today's gospel reminds us that we must always be ready, because we don't know when the Son of Man will come. So we must always be ready. And that's why it's so important that you listen to what Our Lady said at Fatima. First of all, she said not to commit any sins. Men must stop offending God. He's too much offended by sin. Then she said, pray the rosary. Today's wonderful saint, Saint Hyacinth of Poland, was a canon in the Archdiocese of Krakow when he went to Rome and met Saint Dominic and became a Dominican. And I'm sure one of the influences at that time with him would be praying the rosary, as Dominic proposed. And he was a Dominican who did great work in Poland, establishing several monasteries, and a great miracle worker. They even talk about him laying his cloak over the Vistula River, and having it carry not only himself, but others across the river. Now, that doesn't happen too often, but when you think about it, God can do everything. Miracles are just nothing. And we should expect miracles, in a way, right? God can do it. And we have to glory in this, how God can do all things. And Fatima reminds us of that. Fatima was the first apparition, or the only apparition that I know of, in which there was a proposed miracle at a certain time, on a certain day. A foretold miracle. Today, that day, there'll be a miracle. And the children told her, and everybody, many people, 75,000 or so, went. Many went to scoff and ridicule, like the Masons and the newspapers from Lisbon. They went to laugh at it. And for 3 days or so, it rained, almost like a deluge. And again, reminiscent of the deluge. A reminder of the deluge, when God sent the deluge to destroy men for their sins. That's a little thing, I think, that we should consider about Fatima. Reminiscent of the great chastisement of the deluge. And then the miracle came. The sun spinned in the heavens and catapulted towards the earth, and everybody thought it was the end of the world. It was a tremendous miracle that would have been even greater, Our Lady said, if the Masonic mayor had not locked up the kids for a few days in August. So we have this great miracle. And even though they were all soaking wet from the rain, ankle deep in water and mud and everything else, everything was dried after the sun went back into the heavens, as it were. And not only were they dried, can you believe it? A little touch of maternal love, all their clothes were clean, like going to the dry cleaners. Can you imagine that? What a beautiful little touch. It doesn't mean a lot for the salvation of souls, but it certainly tells us how much God is aware of all of our problems and difficulties, and he'll take care of everything. And we have this great miracle proposed so people could believe. And Our Lady came to save souls, right? And she promised that she would come later with a plan, in a way, with the first Saturdays to save souls. Now, I do a lot of talking to people. I'm always asking people when I meet them, are you a Catholic? And if they tell me they are, I says, do you go to confession? And so most of them tell, oh, they sort of smile and they say, oh, I haven't been to confession in years. I get that most of the time, believe it or not. I haven't been to confession in years. So what does that mean? There's got to be mortal sin on their soul. How are they going to get rid of their mortal sins? That's why a lady came to give us this marvelous plan, confession. All right, she said to go to confession once a month on the 8 days before or after the first Saturday. Oh, what a wonderful thing we have in the confession of sins. Padre Pio would tell his devotees who didn't go to confession, silly child, silly child, you do not know what graces you are missing. And how often should you go to confession? Well, Our Lady proposes once a month. The Church recommends every 2 weeks if you want to gain the plenary indulgences. In other words, if you do a particular devotion or can get a plenary indulgence for the rosary, saying it publicly or whatever, you have to have gone to confession 8 days before or 8 days after. You have to receive Holy Communion on that day, and so on, and say the prayers, of course, for the Pope. So, how many people know that? How many plenary indulgences could be gained for the poor souls in purgatory, many of whom are our relatives and friends? We all know people who have died, especially as we get older, right? So we want to deliver them from purgatory. So we know what purgatory is like. Fire is fire. People have gone to purgatory and they've come back and they went to their fellow man who promised to say a mass for them, and he says, when are you going to say that mass for me? What do you mean? You just died about 5 minutes ago. And he says, oh, it feels like ages since I've been in purgatory. Ages. Whenever you're in a difficulty, you know the time goes very slowly. So we go to confession 8 days before or after. We recite the rosary. All right, that's so important, the 5 decades of the rosary. We keep Our Lady company, meditating and thinking about the rosary for 15 minutes. All right? Sounds difficult, but let me tell you, it's the most wonderful thing. Sit down or kneel down and talk to Our Lady about the rosary. Oh, you might say, I don't know how to do it. Well, you certainly can do a lot of talking on the outside, and you can't talk to the Blessed Mother. Most of us do too much talking. As one woman told me just the other day, I had a laugh. She says, yeah, I'm getting old, but my mind is very sharp, almost as sharp as my tongue. I thought that was very clever. How many people have very sharp tongues? All right, you know what that means. They know how to go up and down on different people and say nasty things about so-and-so and so-and-so. Well, they can do a lot of talking and gossiping, and why not they can't talk to Our Lady for 15 minutes? Pray the rosary. Meditate on the mysteries of the rosary for 15 minutes. Pray the 5 decades. Go to Holy Communion on the first Saturday of the month. And confession 8 days before or 8 days after. Simple, beautiful plan. And what does Our Lady promise? What's the great promise of doing the 5 first Saturdays? I remember hearing this, my dear friends. I was 13 years of age, and the good sister in Brooklyn, New York, told us about the first Saturdays. I'll never forget it. Because I whispered to my friend, let's do it tomorrow. And one of the girls overheard us. And the three of us were there the next day, starting the first Saturdays. Because the teacher, the sister, said that those who go to do the first Saturdays will have all the graces they need to save their souls at the end of their life. Our Lady will be there at your deathbed to give you all the graces you need. People who do the first Saturdays don't just stop at 5 first Saturdays. They keep on doing it. Sister Lucia said, I love the first Saturdays. That was her joy, to do the first Saturdays, to please Our Lady. And after you do 5 for yourself, I read somewhere, why not do 5 for one of your family members, for your husband, for your wife, for your children? I've been doing these first Saturdays since 1951. It's It's a lot of years, my friends. It's a lot of first sad days. I hope I have some credit to my account. I'm going to call in that credit to Our Lady, and I'm going to say to Our Lady, how about my father? How about my brother? How about my sister? How about my friends? And so on. And many of the students that I taught in school. So if we can save souls, my friends, get them the graces they need, Our Lady will do it. She's the one who inspires us to do it for others. Remember, you can't get a thought in your head, says St. Augustine, without God putting it there, as it were, willing it, or permitting it. So if you get a good thought to do something, where'd you get that thought? Because you're so smart and you're a genius? No, because the Holy Spirit inspired you. We cannot get a thought in our head without God's permission. He permits it, or he wills it. He even permits temptations, bad thoughts, evil thoughts, permits. He allows the devil to tempt us because it's good for our soul. When we have the devil tempting us with his little pitchfork, we get a little annoyed and we realize that we're letting this guy go a little too strongly. So we better start praying a little more and get rid of him and pray and overcome him. Ask the Holy Spirit, ask St. Michael to come and protect you. So that's why our Lord allows temptations. Plus, every time you overcome a temptation, you get more grace. You prove your valor. You get a red badge of courage, as it were. Right? And you also become very humble. When you realize you're tempted and you could commit these sins, my dear friends, it makes you aware how close you are to losing your soul. And as Our Lady said, my souls will go to hell because of the sins of the flesh. I gave you a talk on that about 2 or 3 weeks ago. I'll give it again somewhere along down the road. Many, many sins of the flesh. And this is the primary reason, why souls go to hell. How many people do you know who are divorced and remarried? Right? Divorced and remarried without the benefit of the church. How many do you know get married without Catholics, get married in the registry office or by a justice of the peace or whatever? They do not get their marriage blessed. How many of you know that live with their partners? And of course, my dear friends, they are living in sin. You know what that expression means. You're living in mortal sin. Every time you go to bed with your spouse and you have relations, you commit a serious sin. So you're living in sin. Some do it for years. Right? They do it for years. Right? Good people, too. They don't think it's so important to get their marriage blessed in the church. Or after they leave their one husband or wife, they get meet somebody else. And they reason, oh, God doesn't want me to be so lonely. He doesn't want that to happen. He wants me to be happy. So I can be with this man or woman, even though they're not my spouse, in the eyes of God, with proper marriage. My dear friends, can we take a chance that we will die? And if we die, where would our soul go? I tell that to people. Where would your soul go? When they tell me they haven't been to confession in years and they're living in sin, all right, and they don't go to Mass and so on and so forth, I says, suppose you died now, where would your soul go? And I get a stupid answer like, I'll worry about that when it comes. I'll worry about that when it comes. Would they even dare think about that when they went for a drive in their car, that there was no gas? I'll worry about that when it comes, when it goes on empty and the car can't run anymore and you're 50 miles from where you want to go with no place around. You're going to worry about that when it comes? How stupid, my friends. How careless, as Padre Pio says, careless child, when Jesus saves our souls and forgives sins. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. All the bulls and calves could not make up for sin. And Jesus, through the psalmist, says, "Then behold, I come." And he comes to die on the cross. And that's what the cross is all about, the forgiveness of sins. Jesus will forgive our sins. He offers up his precious blood for our sins, to wash them, and to wash our sins in his precious blood. This is what happens at every confession. We're washed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Right? Just thinking there, I just thought popped into my head. We're always so worried about taking a shower and taking a bath. Nobody would dare go a week without not taking a shower or a bath or washing themselves somehow. Wouldn't dare. How about your soul? When are you going to wash your soul? Your body could be very beautiful and perfumed and everything else. But what about your soul? Your soul is filled with sin. And as Martha said when they went to Lazarus, and the dead body of that Lazarus was 4 days already dead, and Martha says, "He stinketh, Lord. He stinketh." What about the smell of a soul in mortal sin? Right? I think one of the saints was saying that if we could smell the devil and sin, it would stink out the room. We would die. The smell would be so putrid and distasteful. Sin. And we get our sins wiped clean away. This is what we should tell people. And how many people are carrying all these sins on in their souls, a weight on their conscience for years? And maybe they don't even realize why they're depressed all the time and they're angry all the time and everything. I always remember what Bishop Sheen said years and years ago when I was a little boy listening to him on television. He says, if those people in mental institutions could make a good confession, the mental institutions would empty out. Empty out. My dear, half of them, I should say. He said half of them, not all. Half. All right? So, there it is.